Now, as you would have heard, if you were listening to our news over the last number of days and weeks, that planning permission has been sought for a new solar farm in North Kerry, which would cover approximately 55 times the area of Croke Park. Knockanure Renewables has applied to Kerry County Council for the solar farm around 9 kilometres northeast of Listowel. According to the planning application, the project is made up of land from 14 farming families in the areas of Killade, Gertrude McGowna, Lisiniska, Newtown Sands, Beanispuck, Pilgrim Hill, Shrone Burnie, Lackey East and Tren. The application also seeks permission to fell 1.5 hectares of forestry and the development of a 110 kilovolt switching station to allow for a future connection to a nearby substation. Its sites in question come to a total of 354 hectares, which is around the 55 times the estimated area of the Croke Park football pitch in Jones's Road in Dublin. The applicants say the sites are suitable for solar development or solar power development. Kerry County Council is due to decide in the application by January 3rd next year. So that would be, I think, the biggest solar farm to date in Ireland if it is to get planning permission. And we've been taking a look here in Radio Kerry at what has been happening in the area of solar planning permissions in the last couple of years. And from 2022 onwards, including the three applications that are currently before Kerry County Council, if all came to fruition, it would be well over 1,000 hectares of solar panels going in to, by and large, North Kerry. Now, what are the implications of this? Obviously, it will help with reducing fossil fuel emissions. But what are the implications for the wider region? That much land changed in land use from traditional maybe farming or other uses to solar power, and the implications as well on the communities in question. We've been seeing with a number of different applications in recent times, opposition groups springing up here and there, and there are concerns as to what will happen in the particular area. Well, in a moment, we're going to speak to Paul Dean from UCC about this. But first, I spoke to Councillor Michael Foley, Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council, before coming on here, and talk to him about his concerns about the number of applications in and what they will do, and his calls on government to take action.
Well, Jerry, I just want to make clear from the very start, I am not anti-solar farms. But over the last couple of months, I have been getting more and more calls from the public about their concerns for solar farms in my area. Look, I suppose the main problem with us here is we're oversaturated with solar farms, and it's gone down the same line as we did with wind turbines, where I suppose it's causing problems in the community and where it's going to divide the community. Now, around this time last year, I called for the government to bring out national guidelines on solar farms. I think I was on your own radio programme. We were speaking about it as well, and I brought it up inside in the council. And nothing has happened with it since. Do you know, we have to have proper guidelines to provide, I suppose, proper location for them, proper sustainable and development going forward. And we don't have that. And, you know, just people have concerns about around, I suppose, the effects it will have on the price of their own properties. You know, there's issue around glint and glare. You know, there's several factors, and these have to be addressed. Now, the last thing I want is the neighbour to be fighting against neighbour. Do you know, and that is going to happen. And it's like I said, even my own colleagues I've been talking to them, and they've been getting more calls about it as well. But yeah, the big problem is the oversaturation of them in one area. And that is not right. And I feel that, you know, there's no problem with solar farms, but having them in one area is not on. Like you said there, that the equivalent of 1,000 hectares of is either in planning or have been granted is equivalent to 163 Croke Parks.
Yeah.
They're all based in North Kerry except one, which is in Milltown. Is that fair? I don't think it is. I know there's a community support fund as well being given out to the community, but that's given to the community. It's not given to the individual that's living next door to them. And that's an issue as well. Do you know, if the people living next door to them felt that they were going to get some benefit from them, maybe a reduction in their electricity costs, But it isn't happening like that. And you know, like sometimes you'd ask the companies then questions about the solar farms, and they're not answering it. Do you know, they're not giving clear answers about it. And look, it's going to get worse and worse. We know there's more planning applications gone in. But look, again, I want to make it clear, I am not anti-solar farms. I just want, I don't want to see the community divided like it was with wind farms.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things there on that, Mike. One is the element of, I suppose, the community. And we've seen community groups that have been coming together to object to these solar farms. Like that over 1,000 hectares, that doesn't even cover or count the solar farm that was applied for, which is a 286-hectare solar farm, which is applied for Tarmans near Tarbert. Now, that, I think, has hit some invalidation problems in the planning process. That may well be resubmitted, so there could be even more on the way. But there are a couple of different considerations and a couple of different policies crisscrossing here. And is that what you mean by the solar guidelines? Because number one, you have Ireland's drive to reduce emissions. Number two, to try and get some destiny and control over our own emissions, relying less on foreign imported fossil fuels. But also then you have the county development plan. You have the need to develop the land bank. And I suppose one of the reasons why it's all coming to one area is because it's close to Tarbert Island, close to Foynes, close to the power stations. And that's why, like, if you there's a reason why, I'd imagine, and I'm open to correction on this, there's no solar farms being applied for Carsaveen or Sneem or Kenmare or even Dingle, because you'd have to run a very long line to get to your nearest power plant. It comes down to economics. So that's another side of it, isn't it? Is that one of the reasons why this is happening in North Kerry?
Well, the reason, I suppose, it is happening is because we have a 220 kV and 110 kV transmission line coming in from Kilcapadog all the way down through, I suppose, down into Listowel, between Tralee and Castle Island, onto the Killarney side and out into Cork. That line doesn't go out to the Dingle Peninsula, the Peninsula, out to Carsaveen and Kinmare and those areas.
The infrastructure is there to make it economically sensible to apply for these solar farms along that line, and particularly in North Kerry. That's why it's happening all at once, all in one area.
Yeah, it's the connection. It's because of the connection to the grid. But you have to take into account the oversaturation of these solar farms in one area. That is totally wrong. Yeah. You know, again, I have to emphasise, I'm not against them, but when they're all coming to one area, that's when people's dandruff gets up, I suppose. That's what I'll say straight away. Why are they all coming to our area? And will it have effect on the cost of our housing? Will we have issues with glint and glare? They are the problems, and people get annoyed over it because they don't see any benefit for them personally. Now, I know that the community, again, I said the community support, they're coming out from it, where all the, I suppose, the community groups will be looking for funding off of them, which is fine. But people directly don't see the benefit of that.
And does there need to be, Mike, alongside these national guidelines and whatever they would say? And I know Senator Mike Kennedy called last month in the Shannon for a timeline, at least a timeline, for when they'll be published from the government. I'm not sure what the response is from the government to that. But does there need to be an overall, like you're seeing here, the private sector is interacting with the public sector in terms of what government bids and aims are versus private companies who are moving into the space. They're bidding in these auctions to provide electricity, and they're getting contracts, and then they're applying for planning to fulfil those auctions. Does the government need to say something? The minister need to say something about what's going on, or someone to paint an overall picture of what this will mean? Because the other side of it is, you've 1,000 hectares. That's 1,000 hectares of land that would be gone to, let's say, dairy farming, which is the prevalent form of farming, or maybe grain growing, the prevalent form of farming in North Kerry. That this land will be taken out of use for the area. What's the economic impact of that, for example? Does somebody need to paint a wider picture of what's going on here from the government to explain at least to people what's going to happen to North Kerry if all of these go ahead?
Yeah, look, just going back to the grid connection, I suppose going back in my previous job, I was working with Jimmy Deanan at the time. You know, these connections, this line, I should say, was brought in. We were told that, you know, that it would bring huge industry to the North Kerry area. It didn't. It brought wind farms, and it brought, and it's now bringing solar farms. But like, we have to have the national guidelines. Like, again, I said, I called for them last year. It fell on deaf ears. But we need some guidelines. We need what's the distance these can be from houses, where's the proper place to build them. We need that. And who will benefit out of it in that is the developer will benefit out of it. The landowner will benefit out of it. And the people living alongside it will benefit out of it, because there's clear guidelines to show where they can be put, and all everything that is around it, and that's not there at the moment, and that's why people are angry. They're asking the question, but why are we getting them? Why are they all coming?
That has to be answered. Final brief point. There's another implication here, and it's for Kerry County Council. It's resources. The fire service will have to be upgraded, I imagine. There's battery plants coming with a lot of these solar farms, and that has implications for, I suppose, the equipment, the training, and the machinery that Kerry County Council will have to employ to cover all these areas.
Of course, we're all new industries. We have to have proper infrastructure around it, I suppose, as well. And of course, the fire brigade and the members will have to have proper training. And I suppose that's another cost. Like, today we're going to have our budget meeting. We're going to be looking at a 248 million budget going forward next year, which is up 10% on last year. So that's happening at 10:30 this morning. We'll be going through that, and there'll be extra spending. So these are all extra costs as well. But look, we have to be prepared if there's any emergencies or any accidents around these things. There has to be proper training for the fire service. That is vital for their own safety as well, of course.
Okay. All right, Mike. Listen, we'll leave it to it. But thanks very much for giving us your view and airing your concerns on that.
Thank you.
Okay, that's Cathaoirleach of Kerry County Council, Michael Foley, with his views. And with me on the line to talk about this in more detail is Dr. Paul Dean, Senior Lecturer in Clean Energy Futures at University College Cork, and a researcher at the Mary Centre for Energy, Climate and Marine at the college. Paul, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me at the moment. 1,000 hectares of solar panels. We will get to him in a minute or two's time. If you have a view for us on it, get in touch with us in the program. If you have your own opinion on what's happening here, or maybe the need for clarity around what's happening, then get in touch with us. If you're affected in the area, we want to hear from you. We'll hear from Paul Dean after we take these. Yes, continuing our look at the situation with regards to solar power planned for North Kerry, Dr. Paul Dean is with me on the line from UCC. He's a doctor and senior lecturer in the Clean Energy Futures at UCC. Paul, good morning to you. Thanks for joining me this morning. What's your overview of, I suppose, what's happening here? We have an idea as to why it's happening because of the power infrastructure in the area, proximity to power plants, but the effect of all of this.
Yeah, good morning, Jerry. Look, straight off the bat, look, some of these projects are far too large, and it's not just the individual projects themselves are large, Jerry. Then it's the cumulative impact of all these projects then tends to have a really outsized impact on a rural area. You know, 1,000 acres of land tied up for solar within a small region is absolutely absurd. Now, there's two things going on here, I suppose, Jerry, in the background. Number one, I suppose a lot of these projects are speculative. Now, look, I'm not speaking for any of the developers, and I don't know who are developing these projects. But a lot of these projects, developers are speculative. That means that they go in and tie up lots of land. No, they tend to be in it not for the long term, but rather for the quick buck. They will plan to maybe sell those projects later on once they get planning. Now, when they sell those projects, what they leave behind them is a lot of stress, anxiety, and worry and concern for the local community. And again, look, the visual impact for these things is really significant. You know, I'm an advocate for this type of stuff. We all know that Ireland needs to move away from fossil fuels. It's costing us a fortune. It's damaging the planet. But I always ask myself, and anyone who advocates for this, you know, would you live near these projects? Like, would I live near wind farms? I have, and I've less of a problem with wind farms. I've less of a problem with power lines. But would I like my house to be surrounded by 300 or 400 acres of solar panels? And the answer is no. And the impact there is comes primarily down to the visual impact. You know, the, some of these solar farms have security fences, up to security fences, up to 2.5 meters around it. So the visual impact isn't trivial. It is significant. And again, the challenge for the local community is not just individual project that may or may not go ahead, but then they're hearing about a cumulative snowballing impact of other projects. And projects like this, Jerry, really should be benefiting communities and bringing communities together rather than dividing. So
more
it's very,
than,
very
than
disappointing.
They are now through the Community Engagement Fund. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they should.
This current system sets up, some money goes to the community, but that's it.
Yeah, but it has to be about more than money, Jerry. It has to be about respect. It has to be about being listened to. It has to be about balance. Because in the long term, if we burn the goodwill of communities, we will build no projects in the future, be they wind, solar, or batteries. And I think, Jerry, what needs to happen here is that either local government, certainly the national government, need to step in with guidelines. And those guidelines need to acknowledge that there is a cumulative saturation impact of these wind farms and put a limit on it. And so my view is that there needs to be a limit on the acreage that goes for solar.
It's already, is it not already too late for that? I mean, we've 1,000 hectares between granted plus 3 big projects in the pipeline, a decision due in the next month in the 3 of those. It's too late for guidelines for those projects, isn't it?
Well, I think it's never too late when it comes to such important national and social issues like this, because again, if these projects go ahead, impact on the local community will be detrimental and divisive. But then there'll be contagion, Jerry. That will spread nationwide, and it's going to be very hard then to get projects built anywhere if local communities are seeing what happens when they're not listened to. So if there needs to be a kind of a pause button pressed until we get the guidelines in place, well, then that needs to be the case. But the challenge at the moment, in the absence of these guidelines, it's a kind of a Wild West scenario where speculative developers are tying up land, leaving fear, and that is incredibly detrimental to local communities.
Can I ask you this, Paul, finally? We're speaking in the context of this, but there's an 8 gigawatt target for solar-powered energy by 2030 that the government want to get to, right? That's a big leap. Where are they going to go if they're not going to go in areas like this? And finally, just on it, does someone need to paint a wider picture? And who is that person? To say, look, this is what's happening, this is why it's happening, this is how we're going to ameliorate the impacts. Or someone on a national level, perhaps, maybe to say, right, here's where we're going to have our solar panels, here's what we're going to do for the communities to pay off for that. Or some, at the moment, it's all happening almost independent of government. Or is that fair or unfair?
That's true. Like, you know, we come up with these numbers sometimes that are nice round numbers, but the evidence behind it is often very lacking. And you know what a number like that needs to be informed is by spatial policy. You know, how many pockets of projects can you have around the country that can be developed without having a detrimental visual impact on local communities? At the moment, there is a tend towards large blanket projects, and that is wrong. So I think these numbers do need to be looked at very carefully. If we can't get it from solar, if we can't get it all from solar, I suppose the real big prize for Ireland is our offshore wind resource. We have an incredible resource around the east coast, the southwest, the southeast. Putting wind turbines offshore gives you a much bigger bang for your buck. You get far more energy. There's always still going to be a visual impact. You know, on the coastline, you are going to impact coastal communities, but it tends to be less. And look, at solar, Jerry, look, there's one option going down the big project route, but also looking at our farms, our farmers, our sheds, our roofs, our roadsides. There are other issues. There are other options as well for developing the solar resource. But my big worry is that if we go down the road of large blanket projects, we're going to burn the goodwill of communities who have supported projects in this like this already, such as wind farms in North Kerry, and at a national level we'll end up potentially getting nothing done, and that could be far worse in the long term.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, thanks for your time and that. More to come in it, no doubt. That's Paul Dean there from UCC.